The Bible gives us at least three. I started out this lesson with six. But I thought, you know, I'll be up there an hour and a half, 2 hours if I give all six. So I picked what I thought were the most important three reasons why Jesus' ascension was extremely important. The first one I decided on is now we can go home. Jesus tells us in John the 14th chapter in the first four verses that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he tells us, if I go prepare a place, I'll come again and I'll take you with me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We have a home. Been doing a lot of traveling the last couple weeks. Down in Alabama and up in northeastern Ohio and over into Indiana. It is good to get home. You know, you forget how comfortable that old bed is. You forget how nice it is to wake up in your own home. Jesus said, we're going to have a home. He tells us because he's ascended, we can say, like Paul said in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21, 2, and 3, that for me to die is gain. Think about that for a moment. We're all afraid to die. Never done that before. We're afraid to do most things we've never tried before. I can remember as a child trying to ride a bike the first time. Coordination is not my middle name. That was a very difficult task for me, to ride a bike. I had skinned elbows and skinned knees and skinned foreheads, but I made it. I decided I was going to do it. For me, to get those skinned up spots and all of that was gain, and I was willing to pay the price. Folks, we need to think about the fact that Jesus has gone to prepare a mansion for us. He's got a place there waiting for us. And for us to die is gain. How can we be afraid of what's going to be a gain for us? I remember when Zach moved out of the worker bee category and moved into management. Stress. Worry. Requests for prayers. And now, he's perfectly comfortable there. Well, with a little reorganization going on, maybe not perfectly comfortable. But, you know, that happens everywhere. Think about that expression, because Jesus went to heaven and prepared a mansion for us. We can go home. We can leave this old earth of pain and sorrow and frustration and disappointment with ourselves as well as with others. And we can go home. Second point, for the reasons why I think it's important that we understand the ascension of Jesus, and that is that he's there to mediate for us today. He's there as our mediator. And what a blessing it is to have a mediator who knows us. At one time in my life when I was working in the secular world, I helped organize. And we had some. And we went to mediation. The mediator did not know a thing about our industry. I mean, nothing. Try to explain to him what the problem was and what was going on, and he just sat there with a blank look on his face. It was very, very difficult. Aren't you glad that we won't have a mediator like that? We have a mediator that we're told in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6, he knows us. He's been here. He's done that. He understands. Wow, what a blessing. When we go to him with our problems, come there and God says, Jesus, what about this? He can say, Father, we need to forgive him. He's one of ours. He's our mediator. We're told in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, in verse number 6, that he's a mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. The Old Testament was great. It allowed them to get to know who God was. It gave them a method of worshiping him. It gave them a priesthood to care for them. It gave them prophets to teach them. But Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant than that old covenant, because it was a physical one. It was based on the blood of bulls and goats. He's the mediator of a better covenant that we live under, because he's ascended back to heaven to do that very job. And it's established on better promises. Well, they had the promise of a land. They had the promise of a nation. They had the promise of prosperity. We have the promise of forgiveness. We have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of being in the presence of God forever and ever. How wonderful it is that Jesus ascended to heaven, that he's there as our mediator today. Because, folks, we need a mediator. Let me put it this way. I need a mediator. And I think if we're honest, we all recognize we need a mediator, so that I can come in the presence of God and have him there by my side. Third reason why it's important is now I can relax, because my king is where he belongs. But you think about that for a moment. My king is where he belongs. He's not in exile. He's not in a grave. He's not off somewhere. He's right there on the right hand of God, Hebrews 1. Verses 1 through 4. He sat down on the right hand of God, on the position of power, the position of authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he's my king. Because he's ascended to heaven, he has that kind of authority, that kind of power. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 11, tell us that because he was obedient even to the cross, that God exalted him so that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess him to the glory of God. That's the king we serve, the king that's ruling today. Because he ascended back to heaven to sit there upon that throne, to reign over his kingdom, the church, to rule over us. How wonderful it is that the story didn't end with him walking out of that tomb to walk on the earth again. But he ascended to heaven. He went back to be with the Father so that he could go prepare a place for us, so that he could be a mediator for us, and so that he could be where he belongs, ruling on heaven and on earth. How great it is that Jesus lived, and he died, and he now reigns forever. When we look at that, we need to think, you know, if I want to go home to be with him, if I want him to mediate for me, and if I recognize him as my king, then we need to obey him. John 14 and verse 15 tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that takes it out of a study of Jesus and his ascension and puts the spotlight back on each and every one of us as individuals. Because you see, Jesus has done his part. He came to the earth and he lived a spotless, sin-free life. He died on that cross to pay the price for our sins. He arose from that tomb so that he could break the bonds of death. And he ascended back to heaven so that he could make a home for us. So that he could be our mediator today. The question is, do we love him enough to obey him? To keep his commandments? To do the things that he has asked us to do? We're told in 1 John 5 and verse number 3 that those commandments are not burdensome. Or as the King James puts it, they're not grievous. Therefore are good. They are really the very best life that you can live. If we keep his commandments. We've got a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in this world. We've got a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of hatred. And all of it comes about because his word is not kept. Just think what it would be like. If everybody in Ohio were Christians, just try to imagine what that would be like. And I'm not talking about just wearing a name, I'm talking about living the life. Just think what that would be like. We wouldn't have to worry about Second Amendment rights. Because we wouldn't need to defend ourselves. We wouldn't have to worry about an army because we would be living God's way. Just think how wonderful that would be. And you're getting a slight little glimpse of heaven. A slight little glimpse. And then we look at what he's required from us. That we need to study his word, that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that we need to repent of our sins, confess that name and be buried with him in baptism. Look at what we get compared to what we have to pay. And it's not burdensome. Just think of that home in heaven. For years and years and years, Sandy and I never owned a home. We lived in a preacher's home. We've bought two or three homes for the church. Living in those homes and the money being paid to, not to us, but to the bank. Now we have the opportunity to buy a home. I don't know, maybe it means more to me than it does to some people to own their own home. That's a wonderful blessing, and to think there's a home waiting for me. As a matter of fact, it's a home that Jesus describes in John 14, again, as a mansion. As a glorious place. And how else could it be? I mean, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had it made. Just for you. Just for me. Because he ascended to heaven. So the question I want to ask tonight as we draw this lesson to a close, are you obedient to him? That's an answer that only can come from you. And it will come from you someday. When you stand before that judgment bar, you'll have to answer the question, have you been obedient? What will your answer be? How will you answer that question? Jesus lived, Jesus died. He arose again and then ascended to heaven. If you love him, keep his commandments. Can we help? Please. It would be a blessing in our life to have that opportunity. Won't you give it to us right now while we stand and while we sing?